If you know them well enough, you don't need to hear from another party. You can see it yourself and hear it yourself. If you know them well enough, before anybody tells you about them and their work, you yourself will know about their work. Theirs will only be either confirmation or backbiting. But theirs will never be revelation. Revelation must be got direct in your relationship with them. And that was what the devil tried to do, to split Nehemiah and his co-workers when he attacked them in tactic number 2. When tactic number 2 failed, and during that time, Nehemiah, his usual way again in verse 9, he said, "Therefore, O God, strengthen my hand." He's always like that praying. Every time the devil gives him a punch, he'll say, "God, strength," and then punch. He's not like some of us, when the devil punches you, you punch back. And then after that, no strength, a little bit. No, Nehemiah is not like that. He said, "God," and then he go for it. He cried out to God, interjected prayers. Third attack from the enemy is even more direct. See, he slowly get more and more direct. In verse 16, chapter we are in. Oops, okay. We are in Nehemiah chapter 4. That's right. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 11. "Our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." Now they are planning to attack Nehemiah and all his people. The third tactic is direct attack. First, the devil tries the indirect. If they cannot succeed, they will try the direct attack. First, they will try to character assassinate you. They challenge you as a person. They say, "Why are you doing this? You're rebelling," which is what they told Nehemiah. They challenge his work, challenge his character, challenge his motive. When Nehemiah stood firm, because he knew his own motive, he knew his own heart, and he knew his own vision from God. He knew his own call from God, and he was not moved. They went down next down the line. They challenged his co-workers. They challenged their works and say, "Your works is nothing." Try to discourage them by saying, "Your works will never succeed." When they are still continue working like ants without stopping, they say, "All right, let's launch an attack." Third tactic, direct attack, direct onslaught. That's not easy. When direct onslaught came, Nehemiah had to cut down his speed, which is what we all must learn. See, as long as the devil attack your character, your motives, and you as a person, just give glory to God. Because you're dead in Christ. It's no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. You don't have to justify. You don't have to prove yourself. My favorite parable is, if a dog barks at you, don't bark back. Because if the dog comes, wow, 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 and then you bark back, wow. Congratulations, you've become a bigger dog. So you don't stoop down to their level. Where they go eye for eye, tooth for tooth. They character assassinate you, you character assassinate them. And you're as bad as them. You repay evil for evil. Let God be a justifier. So, as far as the first attack is, you can just ignore it. When the first attack comes like that, ignore it. Just pray to God and pray for them. When your enemy curse you, bless them, Lord. See, you can continue the same speed. And then when they try tactic number 2, they try to still using words. Using words to attack your own workers, your own employees, your own chosen ones, your own trusted people, and attack your works and everything. They say, "This is nothing, this work is nothing. You know, there is nonsensical work here, nonsensical work there." Saying all these things. There's nothing you can do. If someone doesn't want to accept your works, what can they do? Just lift up your hands and say, "God bless them." And continue as strong in your work as much as possible. But when he gets a direct attack, he comes with his spears and he comes right to the doorstep. And he's going to challenge you physically. And he's going to wipe you off and kill you. When there's a direct onslaught, you must pay attention. You cannot try the same trick like the first two. Which is what many people do. In fact, many people, when the devil comes direct attack, they say, praise God, Psalms 91 lah. And they don't realize that Psalm 91 is dwelling in the shadow of the Most High. I want you to know that under Psalms 91, Paul the Apostle also had a chabot. I got the Bible to prove it. When they didn't want him in a place, where did he go? He just go off. Why didn't Paul stay on when the Thessalonians were coming against him in Berea in Acts 17? As they're coming to kill him, why didn't Paul say, I dwell in the shadow of the Almighty? Why didn't he do that? No, he has to pack up his bags as fast as he can and run out. Choo! Psalm 91. Psalm 91 means, where he goes, you go. His shadow move, you better move. Because his shadow move, you don't move, you're not protected. So some people not apply the wrong approach differently. When it comes to attack number three, then they try the ignoring. Then when personal attack, they attack back. No. The first two you ignore and you bless God and you pray. But the third one, you have to do something. Which Nehemiah did, you see, in chapter 4. In verse 16. So it was from that time on, that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears and shields, the bows and war armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. So he organized them here to give them spears, give them armor, give them all these things that are necessary to protect. In other words, his work was cut in half. The other half was not doing any work. The other half had to do watching and guarding. Sometimes when you're in a ministry or in a move of God, you get the first two attacked. Don't react. Cry a little bit if you want. Or a lot if you want to. Sometimes it does take a lot. No, just never mind. Just take a bigger towel instead of a small handkerchief, that's all. But when it comes to number three, don't ignore. You must pick up your spiritual weapons, which is not like them, spears. You know what I do when I sense number three coming up? Intensify your spiritual warfare. Which means I have less time to prepare for my normal thing. Which means that, let's say, if I did like what Nehemiah did, for him, he took half his time. Let's say that, normally, if you normally, let's say, spend about 3 hours in praise and worship, 3 hours in prayer and intercession under normal thing, and then you're spending the rest of the time in the Word of God, suddenly there's an intensity. Satan attacks in cycles. There's an intensity, onslaught against you because of a move of God that you're supposed to pioneer and bring forth. You may have to increase that 3 hours to 6 hours. Which means you got less time. You may have less time to sleep. Less time to do some work that you normally would like to do. During that period, thank God it's not forever. We cannot. God is merciful. Right? He says he will never let you be tempted or tried. The word temptation and tried is the same Greek word. Or tested beyond what you're able to bear. So it's only a period of time. That God will suddenly, some of you notice that at certain periods, suddenly God wake you up every morning. Your normal waking time, 5 o'clock, now God starts waking 3 o'clock, you're panicking. Right? After 7 days of waking up at 3 a.m., even though you sleep at 12 midnight, and you're wondering, what's wrong with me? Phone the pastor. Pastor, what's wrong? I'm having insomnia. Pastor says, when you wake up, what happened? Do you have demonic dreams, attack, confusion? Or no. Every time I wake up, three, the presence of God is there. Pastor says, there's no insomnia. When God is there, why don't you talk to Him? A lot of people wish God were there. And so, you realize that it's for some time. And then if you faithfully did, then God releases you. Then you go back to your normal schedule. See, God understands this period of time, and we must flow along with the Spirit of God, who teaches us during a time to halve our normal work. Perhaps in your office work, you could be owning your own business, etc., or whatsoever. And perhaps Satan is coming against your business directly in some way. Perhaps he tried the first two and he didn't succeed. Now he tries the third one. There's something that's going to happen. And if you do not pray, you do not take up your weapons, it's going to hit you by surprise. But thank God for the Holy Spirit's alarm in our spirit. He sets an alarm and you know. And normally you as an office worker, you only spend about 2 hours with God per day. But there was an urgency. 2 hours that time you felt not enough. Something in you still stirring. And you realize it could be tactic number three coming up. That God is telling you to pick up your spiritual weapons and do warfare for some time, and then he will never touch those areas. And because of what Nehemiah did, although it cost him half his workforce, which was quite costly in economic terms, half of his employees now doing nothing but just watching, that's quite a lot of work gone. That delays him, but that delay was good. It was essential, it was important to counteract what the devil tried to do. When tactic number three failed, tactic number four came. And chapter six, tactic number four now is to distract you. Distract you. He can do distraction through getting a lot of things busy to you, through more and more meetings to wear you down. You could see in some of these negotiations that sometimes go on between difficult parties, you notice that one of the tactics that people use is to wear down the other, which is one of the psychological warfare they use. And that is what the enemy also uses. Tries to wear you down. That's tactic number four. And this time Sanballat wrote 4 letters to Nehemiah. 4 letters in verse 4. They sent me this message 4 times. And I answered them in the same manner. What was the message? Come and meet with us. We got some important matter to deal with you. Urgent. They answered, send another one. Registered mail. Send another one. Etc. And so the 5th time, he sent a very strong letter. All these are distracting. You know what Nehemiah says? I have no time for all these things. Because Nehemiah knew that he legally had the authority from the king. So he was not bothered into getting sidetracked by all these things. I want you to know that the more you move up into the move of God, the revival, the more you move right into the forefront, distraction is one of the things that you face. That you have to make a priority, quality choice. That there are things that are more important than there are other things. There are a lot of things you can do, you must make choice. Because everyone has only 24 hours. And for you, the more you move into the front line, the 24 hours means so much more. And you want to do so much more. That means cutting out the distraction that are unnecessary. And there are times that you may just have to just assign to a smaller person or a lesser person to take care of that, so that you could concentrate on what is real priorities that God wants in your life. So he was not moved. He was able to face distraction. When tactic number 4 failed, tactic number 5 came up. Number 5 was very serious. Number 5, very few words reached that point. But I have people reach number 5 and come against me at number 5. And chapter 6, this is what number 5 is like in verse 10. Again, each time you notice that he called on God. Oh God, strengthen my hand in verse 9. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer. Now you notice secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they're coming to kill you.